Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and welcome to a Super Saturday, one of the busiest days of the season. We've got all bases covered on a fantastic day of racing. What's coming up? Well, we're going to start off at Newmarket, where it's July Cup Day. We've got a Group 1 sprint, loads of runners in there, as well as a really deep competitive card. The Bunbury Cup is one of the betting races of the summer. We'll have that one digested in detail, as well as looking at the Superlative Stakes, where could we be seeing Aidan O'Brien's next City of Troy in Italy. We'll have all the panel's thoughts on him as a live contender. We'll also be heading to York, where it's another big handicap there. The John Smith's Cup is the highlight. Loads of good chances, and we've got some big price fancies in the big handicap. And finally to Ascot, where we've got three Royal Ascot winners all lining up in the Summer Mile. Loads of tips, loads of insights, and we have got your Super Saturday sorted. Don't forget, if you're a fan of a show, make sure to hit that like button. Let us know what you fancy, of course, and we'll make sure to flag if you have any big price winners as well. But let's see if our current panel can find any this weekend. Joining, as always, we've got in the bottom corner, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. In the bottom left, if you're watching along, our Lambourne correspondent, Liam Head, and ratings man, Johnny Pearson, in the top right. Joining me, of course, James Stevens. Always forget to introduce myself. Let's go to our first meeting then, and it is to Newmarket. Where else? We're on the July course, where the ground is good to firm at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. And where else to start but the 4:35 at Newmarket, the Albasti Equiworld Dubai July Cup Stakes, where we get to see a huge gamble. Will it pay off for Godolphin? They paid £36,000 to put Notable Speech in the race. He's favourite to win the race, but will he do so? Well, he's 3-1 with Unibet as it stands at 4-1 at Flora of Bermuda. Whistle Jacket for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. Win for Aidan O'Brien will make him the winning most trainer in this race. His history with 6 wins. Whistle Jacket is 5-1. Symbol of Honour also for Godolphin at 11-2. Inner Sharon at 6-1. Believing at 7s. Spy Chief, another for Godolphin, at 10s. Big Mojo, 11s. Night Raider, 18s. Jasur, 28s. Ides of March, 33s. Rogue Lightning, 40s. Run to Freedom, 50s. No Half Measures, 66. And Twilight Calls, 100-1. Start us off, Johnny Pearson. What wins the July Cup?
Well, it's interesting. I was after Royal Ascot, we were asked, right, give a horse you'd like to be on side with next time they run. And I came down on Notable Speech. However, I wasn't expecting it to be over 6 furlongs at this point. But I don't think, I mean, he's only ever run over 8 furlongs his whole career. He's, you know, he didn't start at 6 and then progress to a miler. Only ever over 8. And the dropping trip does actually concern me slightly, but I still think he's probably the best horse in there. And I think 3-1 looks a fair price, and I'd be, yeah, I'm going to have to back Notable Speech.
Yeah, first time, Johnny, away from a mile. What are you expecting of him? Does he show you the speed?
I think he's got plenty of speed. I just think it's about timing the challenger. I mean, Ascot last time went at suit, he was held up of slow pace, and then just got stuck behind horses. Docklands was actually behind him, and then but he's gone round him, and then William Buick's got stuck behind and had to go around Docklands, and it was just and he dropped his whip as well, which didn't help, and it just didn't work out for him that day. And I think we'll see a much better performance on this occasion. I think he's the best horse in there, and I hope he can win.
Ed, we talk a lot about betting on the show, obviously, trying winners. £36,000 Godolphin played to put Notable Speech in. It doesn't come much bigger gambles than that, does it?
Well, it's all relative, James. £36,000 to Godolphin is probably not that much, really. And if he does win, what a bonus it will be to his stallion career. So I think it's a very good move. Once again, a shrewd move from Godolphin, because the sprint division isn't packed with superstars. Some might say there isn't one. And Notable Speech, I love the July Cup for milers coming back. I've spoken about, I wanted Phil's a Goal to run in it, but obviously never going to do that. But it's got a good record. I kind of grew up on watching the milers come back to 6 furlongs and run well in the July Cup. Chief Singer is one that I remember very well. And Royal Academy, Soviet Star, and 3 horses from the 80s that maybe viewers don't know. But Ajdal, who came 5th in the Guineas that year and then ran in the Derby, won the July Cup. Mr. Brooks ran in the Derby, ended up winning the July Cup. And Alcohol Free, only a couple of years ago, the year before, had won the 1 mile Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot. So there is a rich history of milers coming back to 6 furlongs And I love it when they do. This Newmarket July course, that just uphill finish, a fast run race, doesn't seem to inconvenience the milers dropping back. And Jeremy Tree, one of the great trainers of the 1970s, 80s, 90s, he once said if you've got a grade one, group one winner over a mile, they should be able to win group one races over six furlongs. And I reckon Notable Speech is going to do it. I think he'll win easy. Best horse in the race, 3-1, get on. And we're going extra place in the race, James, because it is such a competitive race, 3-1 the field. But I don't think it'll be that competitive at all. I think Notable Speech wins.
Well, it is a big sprint this weekend, Ed, and you have come flying out the stalls of that Nostalgia Klaxon. Not even out the gates. That was like Patash. Credit to you. We're already in. Two shouts for Notable Speech, then your 3-1 favourite. Liam, how are you going to complete the hat trick?
No, I'm going to avoid the hat trick, I think. I'm going to side with Aidan O'Brien on this one. The drop back and trip for Notable Speech does sort of bring some question marks into it, whether he's got that you know, ultimate speed for that test. Obviously, Godolphin think that because they've stumped up that fee, but I just think Aidan O'Brien, again, is the man to follow. I think Whistle Jacket is around 5-1 at this stage. I'd be very surprised if he goes off at that price on the day. He's a course and distance winner. You know, he won the Group 2 July Stakes last year. And he seems to appreciate all ground, really. Obviously, he got off the mark this season winning the Lister race at Navan. Things haven't gone, you know, according to plan, sort of in the two runs since. But, you know, Aidan O'Brien, you can't sort of overlook some of his horses, certainly at this stage of the season, when they all seem to be primed and ready. So I'm happy to take on the favourite with Whistle Jacket.
5-1 is Whistle Jacket. Let's just come back to you, Liam. Just a couple of other big fancies that I know many of our viewers and listeners will be looking at. Floor of Bermuda, Symbol of Honour, Inner Sharon, some of the key fancies. Any reason you'd want to draw a line through those?
Yeah, well, I think Symbol of Honour obviously brings in, you know, red hot form. Won very nicely at Haydock in the Sandy Lane the last day. Seems to be better suited for this six furlong trip. So definitely one. Definitely one that, you know, keeping an eye on. It's obviously, it's that got Godolphin sort of jockey booking, the fact that William Buick has obviously gone over for Notable Speech over Symbol of Honour. Of Symbol of Honour have got O'Shea Murphy in the saddle. Inner Sharon's proven his speed as well. So it's such a hot race. And, you know, it's sort of tease up what a brilliant card that is on Newmarket on Saturday.
Couldn't agree.
James, I was going to just mention Inner Sharon. Cheek Pieces first time. Went off. Very short price favourite for this race 12 months ago. I thought that was quite interesting. Cheek Pieces on first time in the Group 1.
Certainly is. Didn't run too well in the at Royal Ascot last time. So maybe it is just a different throw of a dice. It might work for him. He's a smart horse on his day, as we found out last season. Let's move on then to the 250 at Newmarket, the Bet365 Bunbury Cup, where we get to see more thunder after that desperately unlucky second, or desperately close second, should I say, in the Woking. Is he going to make amends? Well, he's 7-4 with Unibet to do so. It's been a fair bit of money for him since declarations, as we record here on Thursday morning. £10 at 3-1. Acadian Thunder at 5s. Run Boy Run 9s. Mial 11-1. Dark 30 and Alto 12-1 and 16-1 bar. Let's come to you first, Ed. More thunder, yes or no?
Yes, it was one of my top five tips at Royal Ascot, which didn't win. Two of them came second. One was a non-runner and Venetian Sun winning. So it wasn't too bad. But I thought he was a bit unlucky in the Wokingham. But he's really been crying out for seven furlongs, hasn't he? He's a very short price for a Bunbury Cup, but there aren't that many runners. I think there are 13 runners, which is... I remember there being kind of lots of runners when I used to follow this race, when Mine used to... You remember when Mine? He won it three times. He was a great old favourite of Mine.
I'm happy to take more thunder on in this one. Obviously, it's a very competitive race, as you'd expect for the prize money offer. Acadian Thunder for me is the one I'd be siding with. I think going back up to seven furlongs has definitely helped him. It obviously took him a couple of runs to get going over six this season before he obviously won at Doncaster. Was only two and a bit lengths behind Never So Brave at the Royal Meeting. So he's obviously in, you know, arguably the form of his career. And I do think that the seven furlong trip seems to suit him best. He's three of his four wins in his career have come over this trip. And also having William Buick on board is such a notable booking. You know, he's never ridden the horse before in a race. So I think that can only enhance his chances. And I think he can run another cracking race.
Acadian Thunder at 5-1. Johnny, what have you got for us? The handicapper, looking at the handicap.
Yeah, More Thunder has obvious claims. It was interesting when he was with Michael Stout. He was running over 10 furlongs pretty much every race. And he's gone to William Haggis this season. He's run three times all over six. Step up in trips, not a surprise, especially given how he finished the race off. And he probably is well handicapped, but I'd still be looking to take him on. I think there's a couple in here who could, at bigger prices, who could sort of skew things. And obviously, Liam's just mentioned Acadian Thunder. But two runs back, Billy Joe was a length and a half behind him over seven at Doncaster. But he's £4 better off on this occasion with Acadian Thunder than he was that day. He's a sort of horse that tends to need everything to go right for him to fall into place. But if they go decent enough pace, he gets a good position behind, he can't, I'd expect him to be finishing off well late. And, you know, he looks far too big a price based on that form with Acadian Thunder, given he's sort of near enough twice the price and he's £4 better off with him here. And the other one is EBT's Guard for William Muir and Chris Grassick. He's seventh behind My Cloud at Royal Ascot. Raced on the other side. You know, there's a couple of them on his side that finished ahead of him. But he ran pretty well. And again, at double figure prices, I can see him running into a place here. And I'd rather be with these two each way than on the favourite.
James, I should mention here that we are going extra place. So it's quite a good race to go extra place because it's like 2-1, 5-2 the favourite. And then it's kind of quite big prices. So yeah, extra place.
Sure thing. Johnny, 2 16-1 shorts, EBT's Garden, Billy Joe. And Johnny, just very quickly, we'll touch on Royal Ascot. Your nap at 25-1, just pinned on the line. How gutting was that?
Well, I had the forecast of the ones that finished second and third, so it made it even more painful. There was a number of second places at Ascot. It's just one of those weeks, and you move on from it.
Certainly do. Let's move on to the rest of Newmarket and a spin through it. It's a busy day on ITV, of course, with so much good racing. Let's just start with a very quick look at the Superlative Stakes. Ed, this has been a very good race for Finding Future Stars, which we like to touch on. City of Troy being one of them. Italy's the big hot favourite here. Want a side of him? Want to take him on?
I think he'll win the race, but I don't think I'll be backing him. Is what, 4-6? It'd be one of those City of Troy moments. Let's watch him. Let's listen to the hype and see whether he's good enough to live up to the hype. Italy or Italian players have been doing well at Wimbledon this week. Maybe there's a champion lurking in the men's final, for instance, but maybe there's a champion here for the two-year-old mile races later on in the year with Italy. Aidan O'Brien never used to... I seem to remember him not sending his best horses for this race, but City of Troy was an exception to that, and he put up a really good performance, didn't he, when he won here in 2023. He's only won the race twice other apart from that, with horses that didn't really light up the three-year-old or even the two-year-old campaign. So, yeah, it's an interesting horse. He ran very green on his debut, well-bred as you would expect, so lots to look forward to. But, yeah, let's see if the hype is there and whether Italy's going to follow in the footsteps of City of Troy, or maybe he'll follow the footsteps of some other Aidan O'Brien horses and not perform.
Yeah, let's go to you, Johnny. And you do a lot of our ratings for Ireland. You don't do two-year-olds, it must be said. So this horse is waiting in the wings for the Pearson assessment, the grudge day, I suppose. Just from your knowledge of Irish racing, how does Italy rank among the Aidan O'Brien horses we've seen and potentially will go on to see for the rest of the season?
He's up there in terms of the debut winners, so to speak, because, you know, he's only run once. So those have gone and run well on debut, certainly up there with the best of them for their debut run. But the one who's caught my eye more than any won last weekend, and that is a horse called Daytona. He looks like he's going to be a proper mile and a half horse and could be one for sort of a derby next season. In terms of this race, I'm actually quite intrigued by Wild Desert. He was, won well on debut. Then he was second. He's gone off 30-100 on his second run, finished ahead second to another Charlie Appleby horse that's gone off 9-1. The winner of that race is By Dubarwin out of Lumiere, who was obviously a top-class mare for Godolphin for Mark Johnston. And I think that could be a very smart piece of form. So I certainly wouldn't be ruling Wild Desert out of this race. I don't think, I think 4-6 looks particularly short about Italy here.
Yeah, just whilst I've got it there, Daytona, the one that Johnny mentioned to keep an eye out for, is 20-1 with Unibet for the 2,000 guineas in 2026. We'll just spin through the rest of the races. We've got the 140, 212, 325 and the 4 o'clock at Newmarket Superlative, which we've just discussed. Liam, what else takes your fancy across the ITV action at Newmarket?
I like Bountiful in the 212, the 7 furlong fillies handicap for George Bowie. Thought really, she never really looked like she was going to get going at Royal Ascot. She finished, I think it was 11th in the Sandringham, over a mile. I think the trip probably caught her out a little bit. So stepping back to 7 furlongs should sort of suit her to put in another bold performance. And she finished a close fourth here, over 6 furlongs, should I say, last year in a race over course, you know, on the July course. So and that race has produced a number of winners. So I think she can sort of get back to the form that Bowie has spoke about, you know, in previous times. So I think she can go well for Highclere.
Bountiful at 8-1 in the 212 is one of Liam's to look out for at Newmarket. Johnny, what else have you got for us?
I like one in the, what time is the race? 3:25, which is a mile handicap. Is Bedouin Prince for Charlie Appy and William Yerk, once again being really original with the jockey and trainer bookings at Newmarket. But he won, I was quite taken by him when he was in a second on debut last November. It was then only won by neck at Doncaster on reappearance this season, but it was a good run. The second went and ran in that race behind Merchant at Royal Ascot and didn't disgrace himself by any means. And then he's gone one over a mile on the Rally Mile last time. Won by the best part of 5 lengths. The second that day, came out and won at Sandown on the Brigadier Gerard card. And I think that's a pretty rock-solid piece of form he's got there. And I can see him improving, stepping forward. He's only had the 3 runs. And, you know, he has got to carry top weight for his wins. But I can see him running another big race and continuing to improve.
Okay, so that was the selection of Bedouin Prince at 5-2 in the 3:25 at Newmarket. Ed, anything else for you?
Yeah, I'm taking Johnny on in that race. Mr. Winston in the 3:25. I was at Chester when he won. I spoke to the winning jockey, Jason Watson, afterwards, and he was very impressed by the horse. It was his 5th run, but this is his first handicap. So and actually, he's improved every run for those 5 runs. That was his best performance. It was quite a good time. O'Shea Murphy takes over. And at around about 7-1, I thought this improving horse can keep on improving and start his handicap career on a winning one off a mark of just 84.
Mr. Winston at 6-1. Right. Now, chaps, you've all avoided the first race of the day, which is absolutely no form to go off. They're all newcomers, basically. We know nothing about them. So I want, in a word, give us the winner of a 140. You're not getting away with it, I'm afraid. Johnny, you start, then Ed, then Liam.
Yeah, I mean, well, Darkwing's well bred and the dam won a group two, but it has to be New Vega. I mean, it's a 450,000 breeze up early this year. You'd expect it to be ready to go. And I think she should, you know, why can't she run a big race? Because 450 is a breeze up. The chances are they expect you to be winning pretty soon.
Ed?
Got a clue. Snow Lights for the Godolphin team with William Buick. Deciding to ride that one. God knows what price it will be, but they've never run before, James. I really don't know.
That's the fun of it. I would go Snowlight as well, Ed, so don't think it's just you guys having to put one up. Liam, finish us off. Anything else? Perhaps some Lambourne clues?
Well, I'm going to side with Fan Me for William Haggis, daughter of Tudon Hart, and she's a half-sister to a couple of winners, including Ready to Venture, who won a Grade 3 in America. So based on that pedigree, I'm going to go on that route, and it's hot, so that works.
James, I should say, sorry, do read Richard Hannon's Unibet blog, because he has a runner here who's already had one outing, Orion's Belt, and this one is entered in the Group 2 Lowther Stakes. I haven't spoken to Richard yet, so I'm not too sure, but that might be some interesting information, or certainly some news, with a once raced horse that is entered in the Group 2. At least we know a little bit about that filly.
Yes, and we'll find out more there. We will move on to York and Ascot after this very quick pause. Okay, welcome to part two of the show. Newmarket is done and dusted. It's Super Saturday. We are flying across the racecourses and we're heading north now to York, where it's good to firm ground at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. And we're going to be looking at the 3.10 at York, the John Smith's Cup Handicap, where Yorkshireman William Haggas bigs for a fourth success with this hugely exciting archivist. He's been very impressive so far, and he is your 7-2 favourite to steal the show at York on Saturday. Thunder Run at 6, along with See That Storm. Nakib at 8-1, along with Hand of God. Fox Legacy 9s. Brioni at 11s. Ancient Rome. Romu at 16-1. Bar. Start us off, Johnny, the handicapper again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a competitive race on paper, isn't it? There's lots of good form. You've got the likes of See That Storm, who's behind Burrito, who's very impressive. Then I think he was making his reappearance for a year or so off when he won at York. I think he was second behind him. That was a good piece of form. The one that's caught my eye and I think looks well handicapped, continues to improve with each run so far this season, and he's got better form last season, last summer at Newbury, is Nakib for Julie Camacho and Kevin Stott, who's 2.5 lengths behind Ethical Diamond at Royal Ascot, ran a huge race. I think actually a drop to 10 is probably gonna suit him here. And I mean, 8-1 is actually a little bit shorter than I was hoping for, but I'm clearly not the only one who's clocked onto that as a pretty good looking piece of form. I can see him running a huge race here at a bit of a price.
Nakiba 8-1, down in distance, of course. Liam, what's your fancy here?
Thunder Run for me. Delivered a career best performance when winning over course and distance last time. That took his record at the track to 2 from 2, following one winning from a mile last year. Before his win in August last year, his only higher racing post rating was that run. So he seems to sort of show his best here on the Knavesmere. And he's just a really consistent performer. You know, he's won four out of eight, placed a couple of times as well. So I think he can go well. Obviously, he's carrying top weight here, but he did so when he won last time as well. So he's had a nice break since that run in May, I believe. So I think he can go well. Just obviously, with it being a proper betting race, I do fancy Paddy the Squire at an each way price, third in last month. Non-runner?
Yeah.
Well, maybe there we go. Just the one for me, Thunder Run.
Yep, that's the harsh reality of looking at these races so far in advance. Paddy the Squire's a non-runner, so rule him out. And it's all systems go for Thunder Run for Liam. That's the top weight Liam likes. Nakib's the second top weight. Ed, are we looking towards the top of the betting, a top of the weights even, or the bottom of the weights for your selection?
Top of the weights, middle of the betting, I suppose. It's a really good race, isn't it? And it always... You always get the top trainers with well-bred horses that are progressing that might be better than their handicap mark, even though they're smart handicappers, because this is worth £103,000 to the winner. I mean, it's a deep race. Any number of horses could win this race. I like and respect the opinion of Johnny with Nakib, but I'm going to go for the same race and for almost the same reason. I'm going to go for Hand of God. That Duke of Edinburgh was over a mile and a half. Hand of God looked likely to finish closer to the winner than he eventually did with about 2 furlongs to go. I think drop back to 10 will definitely suit. I think he won at Royal Ascot the year before, didn't he, Hand of God? So it's a class horse. He can run off the same handicap mark of 102. Nakib's gone up a couple of pounds. So although he finished, 3 places ahead of Hand of God, Nakib has to give more weight away to Hand of God. And I've just always had Hand of God as a horse that's going to win a big handicap. I just like him in this race. I like the makeup of the race. I'm a big fan of Danny Tudhope. And Harry Charlton said after the Royal Ascot race that this would be the race for him. So there've obviously been a plan, and let's hope it's a winning plan. So Hand of God is my selection in what is a fantastic renewal of the John Smith's handicap.
Yeah, agreed. Looks a really good race. Hand of God is 8-1. The Keeb, Johnny's fancy 8-1, and Liam's fancy Thunder Run at 6-1. Loads of good prices there. Let's look at the rest of the card at York. Three races to look at: the 2 o'clock, the 2:35, and the 3:35. Let's go straight back to you, Johnny. What are your other fancies at York?
Well, I've had Blue for You in my tracker for some time, and he is becoming a little bit of a cliff horse for me. And I'm going to once more drive over the edge of that cliff and hope for the best. He was second behind him last time at York. So did all right. The time before, you know, he was too far back that day. He was the time before as well. It's become a bit of a theme. But I can see him running a good race again. But, you know, the market's not missing him. Everyone knows that he's well handicapped on his best form. But he's coming down in the weights as a result. So I can't let him going back when he keeps coming down the weights and he's good enough to win one of these handicaps. So it's going to have to be Blue for You over the edge of a cliff again.
Any others?
What's the other race? The 2:35. That is the 5 furlong sprint race. And I backed Star of Maymass last time he ran. Not last time. 2 runs ago at York when he was second behind Tropical Storm. He actually ran very well when third at Sandown last time. Town and Country was valued for a lot more than that winning distance that day. But he's a progressive three-year-old, whereas a lot of these are sort of Washington Heights. You sort of know his level as a five-year-old now. He's obviously not too far off in the Group 1 at Royal Ascot on the first day, wasn't it? But I can see Star of Maymass continue to improve and putting in a big performance here, and he's the one I'd like to be with.
Star of Maymass at 5-1 in the 2:35. Now, Liam, that's a Lambourne klaxon going, isn't it, for Star of Maymass, just about?
Yeah. I should also point out that she is actually a she, Johnny. So,
Thanks.
But, yeah, no, she's obviously bringing in a lot of, really good form. Richard Hughes is having a great season once again. And everything that Johnny said, that I think she can sort of return to winning ways. She's obviously put up a few good efforts in the last few outings, and having Holly Doyle on is also a bonus as well. So for the listed race, I think she can go well. Looking at the rest of the card, for me, I'm going to take on Johnny's first selection and go for Ramus in the 2 o'clock race at York for Owen Burrows. Thought he handled himself really well when stepping up to a Group 3 company in the Jersey Stakes at Royal Ascot. Finished fourth, ran all right. Obviously, it was a big step up in grade, really, from when he won at Doncaster. That was a Class 2 race at Donny, and he's obviously back to this sort of level now. I think that the step up in trip might help him a little bit more. I think that the Jersey was probably went out too quick for him to sort of keep up the pace. So I think sort of a more steadied run, I think he can go well. And it's also worth noting that Owen Burrows doesn't send many to York, but when he does, that they're all worth noting. I think in the last sort of 5 seasons, he's got, I think it's a 25% strike rate or 20% strike rate. He's had 5 winners from 20 runners. So he's one I'm really excited to see back out on track.
Yeah, a Lambourne double for our Lambourne man, Ramus in the 2 o'clock, and Star of Maymass also fancied and tipped up by Johnny Pearson in the 2:35. Ed, disagree, agree with the boys?
Well, first of all, with the boys both here, you're like the umpire at Wimbledon, and with it being Wimbledon fortnight, it's 15 all between Johnny and Liam. Liam went in with a non-runner, which Johnny told him about, and then Johnny told Liam, Johnny got the sex wrong of a horse. So it's 15-0. I'm looking to see who's going to get the winner in the next 10, 15 minutes. But actually, looking at York, Ramus, I agree. Jersey Stakes was a good run, inexperienced horse. Only 3-year-old in the field here. I expect Ramus to win. Star of MS, I agree. I think that was the best performance at York, 2 runs back, according to RPR, 103 rating. Shield, certainly like the flatter course and the uphill finish at Sandown. So I expect Star of Maymass to improve on a 1-from-4 turf record. And then finally at York in the Silver Cup, big fan of Al Karim. He's I always thought he liked soft ground, but he's actually got a good record on good ground as well. He's got 3 wins and 2 seconds from 7 runs, and he loves York, 2 wins and a second from 4 runs. And that last performance at York, when he beat Absurd on worse weights than when he came second in the Auburn, the race before Auburn, that was his best ever performance. So he's an improving horse at his grand old age. So yeah, Al Quorum to win the Silver Cup. So yeah, it's a veritable feast of racing this weekend, isn't it? Some might say it's a feat, but I think it's fantastic. So many great races. We've got so many offers at Unibet as well. So please check out all the offers. And I'm now looking forward to talking about Ascot. We haven't even gone there yet.
No, we are charging around the country quite some paces. Just before we go to Ascot, Ramuz also for Ed in the 2 o'clock and Al Karim in the 3:45. Let's head, as Ed just teased, to Ascot. The third track we'll be looking at and our racing focus here is the Cornish Orchard Summer Mile. We've got 3 Royal Ascot winners who are going to clash. Let's not forget, this is a Group 2 race won by Mahatha and Master in the Seas, who went on to win Group 1s later that season. So definitely a race to worth watching. And at the top of the betting, we have got the Wolverton winner at Royal Ascot, Heart Air Map 3-1. My Cloud fans of Postcast remember this horse because he was Harry Wilson's winning nap at Royal Ascot in the Royal Hunt Cup. He's 3-1. And the other winner at Royal Ascot, Never So Brave, won the Buckingham Palace Stakes. Well, he's also 3-1. What an absolute race we've got in prospect here. Cuda, last year's winner at 100-30. Prague at 13-2. Nostrum at 20s. Point Linus at 25s. And Dark Tornado 33s. Liam, it's the 3 Royal Ascot winners. Are you siding with one of them?
I am siding with one of them. And I'm going to be siding with My Cloud for Roger Varian, winner of the Royal Hunt Cup. Just thought... he was sent off 3-1 favourite that day, but it's an achievement in itself winning a 30-runner race at the Royal Meeting. You know, the competitiveness says it all, really, in the field size. He made it 2 from 2 at the Royal Track that day, obviously after winning on his seasonal debut at the track in April. He also followed that up with a nice gutsy performance at Newbury. You know, I was there that day and I thought he was very impressive. So, he's unbeaten this year. The yard's in tremendous form. As we speak on Thursday, I think Varian's currently operating at a sort of a 25% strike rate in the last fortnight. And he's also a half-brother to Palace Pier, who, you know, needs no introduction, winner of 5 Group 1s. So I think he can really go well and sort of come out better compared to the other Royal winners.
My Cloud at 3-1. Johnny?
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to go against that. Can't, you know, he won well and he's been in good form, but I think he's got a fair bit to prove against the rest of these. So for all he was impressive, I thought, you know, it's as competitive a race as you're going to get. You've got last year's winner, you've got Hartem, who, you know, is the best, you know, is close to a Group 1 winner as you're going to get last season. Prague's got some decent form in there, but and he's only had the 1 run this year at York. A couple of weeks ago, and I could see him coming on for that. But Never So Brave was so impressive at Ascot. Like, he won that. I think he could have won that by down another street if he wanted to. I can't see any way in which he doesn't win this race. He was just, I mean, I can, you know, he's got to prove that wasn't a fluke. But he was one of the most impressive horses of the whole of Royal Ascot to me. And I think he's got an absolutely brilliant chance of winning the Group 2 here.
Confidence from Johnny, we like to see it. Do you agree with any of them, Ed?
Yeah, Never So Brave. I think he's got everything. I mean, it's a very interesting race. 3-1 the field. We are going Super Boost here, so that's the next price up on the price ladder from 9 o'clock in the morning. So you'll get a decent price. If it's 3-1, you get to 130, 4-1, you get 9-2. There are any number of winners, as Johnny said, you know, there are horses that could win, but 3 Royal Ascot winners, of them, I would be with Never So Brave. I think there's reasons to oppose the other two, and I'll tell you why. My Cloud was very impressive in the Royal Hunt Cup. That was a straight mile. He's only ever won over straight miles. This is over a mile, and it's a conditions race. I might be wrong, and I'm very often wrong, as I was with Classic last week. I mean, he won. I've been following him for so long, and then I don't back him, and he wins. Horses that run over a fast run mile in a handicap have a very fast pace to set, and they come. And My Cloud looks like a horse that needs a fast run race, and he comes from miles back. he's running over the round trip here, I think, isn't he? And that's going to be a slower race, more tactical. There are only eight runners in the field. We saw that with the Eclipse last week. I said it might be a slow pace, and I said that might not suit the favourite, and so it proved, and everyone's been talking about it since. I think the same in this race. I think it might be a bit of a tactical game. I don't like Hatim over this distance. Very interesting, in the Racing Post, they quote the trainer, Richard Hughes, Richard Hannon, or it might be even James Dore, saying that when he ran over a mile last time, he said he hasn't got the speed for a mile anymore, which is kind of weird because he's been placing two guineas, but he is getting older. He is four, and then they upped him up to 10 furlongs and he won. So the drop down to a mile, again, in what might be a steadily run race, may not suit. And Never So Brave, I think, has got everything going for him. I just think he's a horse that's top rated in the race, and it's round about 7-2. Definite chance. It's a very interesting race, though, and I'm very much looking forward to watching it from a tactical affair. But that's how I think the race will be set up. I think Mike Cloud will be finishing strongly, but off a slower pace than he did in the Royal Home Cup, might just get placed.
Never So Brave and, well, Never So Confident, really, Ed and Johnny, on the chance of Never So Brave. Liam siding with Mike Cloud. We've got one more race on ITV we've not covered yet. We'll have a very quick spin through the 450 at Ascot. Johnny, what wins?
Existent for Stuart Williams, with Ashley Lewis claiming 7. He's not been seen since Epsom just over a month ago. He's third that day, too far back. JM Jungle's come second, close second in a race since. The second Spartan Arrow has gone and won a listed race at Shanty last time out. Looks a really strong piece of form next Epsom. Okay, he's a 7-year-old and not, you know, he might not be as flashy as a profile as Coupling here. But, and, you know, you've got the Ascot ones that caught the eye. I think from a solid form point of view, that looks as good as you're going to get in this race. And an each-way price, I cannot refuse.
11-1, no fancy for Ed here. So we'll go straight to you, Liam.
Red-orange for me for Clive Cox. Was sort of tracking this horse to see where he was going to end up this weekend. He was entered in the listed City Walls as well. Obviously, they've come here instead. Obviously, been tremendous over this minimum distance. Thought he was very unlucky not to, probably one of the most unlucky losers from the Royal Meeting, when third in the Palace of Holyrood House at Royal Ascot. Only beaten, I think, a length into third. Ran an absolute crack in the race. He has a lot of scope to progress. You know, won really competitive race at Haydock, you know, on his penultimate start. And I think each of his seven runs so far have sort of yielded an improved Racing Post rating. And I think he can go well for a trainer who, again, is in tremendous form. So for me, I'm sticking with my patch and siding with Red-Orange.
I could not agree with you more of that selection, Liam, myself. So good luck to you. Right, we're going to come on to our best bets. But Johnny, we know you look at the Irish ratings. You've got 30 seconds to tell us what's taking your eye over there.
Can I quickly go back to that race at Ascot? What I would say about Existent, if you do end up backing him, you should just be aware, from his 52 starts, he's only won 3 times. Of those, he's come second or third 18 times. So he's a horse that runs well a lot of the time without winning. So you should be aware of that as well. There's one in Ireland that's caught my 5 o'clock at Limerick on Saturday. A horse called Waterford Flow for Joseph O'Brien. He was in that race at Royal Ascot, finishing behind Merchant in the King George V Stakes Handicap. Too far back, only 6th length behind in the end. Can see running a big race. That form looks as strong as you're going to get. Massively boosted in the Irish Derby with the second, finishing second, and he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
And if you haven't had your fill after 12 races live on the TV, there's always Limerick to look forward to at 5 o'clock. Waterford Flow, the selection there from Johnny. We've got all these big races to choose from. Who will be our best bets? Find out after this short break and word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, there is a lot of horses running. There are a lot of selections to choose from. But who are the best bets this weekend? Starting with you, Johnny Pearson.
The best bet is going to be Bedwin Prince in the 325 at Newmarket.
Liam?
I'm going to side with Clive Cox on this one and go for Red Orange in the 450 at Ascot.
That was our Lambourne correspondent with a Lambourne tip. Red Orange in the 450 at Ascot. Ed, what's your nap this weekend, please?
Yeah, it runs in the John Smith Handicap, 310 at York. I'm going for the relatively lightly raced four-year-old, the Harry Charlton-trained Hand of God, to win for the first time this season.
And he's been making crude, well, not crude, but Wimbledon references all weekend long. So perhaps it'll be a timely winner for Ed. I'm going to go for Symbol of Honour in the July Cup myself. I'm so impressed by this horse's performances in that seven-day window in May. Feel this horse is very much under the radar. I know Godolphin have put in notable speech, which would necessarily be a negative for this horse's chances. But I love this horse. I think he's a proper sprinter, and I think he's certainly one that could pull off a bit of a surprise. Thank you very much to our panellists. That's Johnny Pearson, Liam Head and Ed Nicholson for joining us on the show, and to you for watching and listening along wherever you are. If you're a fan of a show, don't forget, to hit that like button. Let us know what you think. If you've got any selections, let us know. And of course, do subscribe, because Racing Post got so much content to go for the July Festival this weekend. Join us again next Thursday at 7 o'clock. The busy racing doesn't stop. We've got Super Sprint Day next weekend. It's the Irish Oaks, and Jumps fans rejoice. The summer plate at Market Racing. We're almost there. Not long to go now. But for now, do make sure to enjoy Super Saturday. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.